All right, Captain Eagle.
I feel like I'm going to earn my name today.
It's podcast day, and I messed up because I told you to watch Brandon Brezina and Vance Dawson, their video on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And then so we end up going home.
Yes.
Right? Well, by the way, so the video that I'm seeing, they have this machine connected to their bellies.
It is a machine, a TENS machine, that is supposed to stimulate labor pains for the male so he can see what it feels like.
Right. So they hook it up
to... Or for anyone. You can put it on anyone to simulate what labor feels like, but it's particularly helpful for men.
Right. So then Brezina wears it, Vance wears it, they film it, we're laughing. We go home because...
Like, they don't even have a pregnant wife at home. You have a pregnant wife at home. If anyone should be...
Because we're homeless, we went to the in-laws' house.
Yeah.
And then... We're driving up here to do our podcast at the office, and then all of a sudden you're like...
I was trying to surprise you. I've got a little something for you. I reached out to Amber because she was the one who had it.
Amber Dawson, thank you so much for letting my wife torture me.
I wanted to surprise you, but technical-wise, we weren't sure how that was all going to work.
Okay, so very quickly, and you know, we are lucky enough because of you that we have a lot of female fans, right?
Yes.
And a lot of females... have reached out to us about...
Well, not because of me. The ladies love you.
Well, they love me because of you. They don't love me. They love me because of you. And then, you know, we get so many people that reach out about, you know, whether they're related to us because of the miscarriage or...
Oh, we got so many sweet messages after we announced
the pregnancy. Yeah, very, very nice messages.
I mean, people sharing their stories. There were several that, like, made me cry. They were just... It was really neat the way people shared. It was really touching.
So... I think for the fans out there, how was your experience having Garrett, right?
You don't remember.
You don't remember?
I mean, I remember, you remember up to a certain point. I mean, I think most women don't remember like the actual childbirth
of
it.
I just remember you like making me go to the stupid class, right? And then, oh my God, there's like a freaking... like super husband, like that dick, and I was like, oh my, you know what I'm talking about,
dude? The best student in class.
Bro, he's massaging his wife in the class, and I'm just like, dude.
You're just pissed because he was making you look bad, giving her a foot rub during class.
He's got a notepad, and he's like, oh, I have a question, and I'm like, shut up, dude. Like, just help us get out of this stupid class. So then they came to us
you
with this.
You did not want to be there. Oh, you were so sweet. I don't know how I convinced you to do it.
Well, no, because my thinking is millions and millions and millions of humans have been born.
Yeah.
It's good. We're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Right? My mom was born.
But it's such a scary.
On the dirt in Mexico.
Yes, but still, regardless, like it's such a scary experience as a woman if you don't know what to expect. And the class, in a way, sort of. Prepares you for what to expect.
No, the class screwed us up with expectations of, oh my God, dude. And she was like, okay, you need a birth plan and you can go ahead and bring your radio and play your mixtape.
Yeah, we had our soundtrack.
I'm going to the hospital. I've got a fucking yoga ball. I've got the essential oil humidifier.
Yes.
I've got the Bluetooth speaker.
I don't know what to shoot.
It was all bullshit. And, by the way,
17
so,
hours later.
Dude, she calls me. I'm sitting at a slot machine in Vegas. She's like, come home. I'm having the baby. Right? I'm like, whole crap. I haul ass from Vegas, which, by the way, if you haven't seen Till Death, you know that part of the story. So I haul ass home. By the way, do I not call you and be like, what about Garrett? How about that name?
Yeah.
And you're just like, just get home. Just, I don't care.
Well, let's not decide on a name right now.
Dude, I get home, and this one over here is literally blow drying her hair. I go, what are you doing? And she goes, well, they're going to be pictures. I want my hair to look nice.
Well, no, I knew my contractions were still very far apart. I think actually my water broke, so I wasn't even necessarily having like regular contractions yet. So I didn't want to go to the hospital. I was trying to stall.
I get there at like 2 o'clock in the morning. It's like 2. No, like midnight, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Midnight one.
Yeah.
You're doing your hair. And I'm like, just tell me what to do. Like, what do you want to do? Then my mom, of course, Miss Dora, hi, mijo. And she's like running around, hi.
Right. She had come to
take her to the hospital, mijo.
Like, she'd come to stay with me because Steve was on the road and we knew I was getting towards the end and we were afraid Garrett might come early and I'd be by myself.
Which she did.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, what do you want me to do? Right? And you're like, I don't want to go to the hospital too early. And the plan, right? The lady said. And I'm like, oh my God, dude, like, let's go to the hospital. So then finally she's like, you're like, okay, let's go. Right? So So we get in the car and we're driving to the hospital. She goes, I want some water. I don't want to go to the hospital yet.
I want like coconut water or something fancy.
Dude, I'm at a freaking convenience store with my wife's water broke and I'm like, here's your coconut water. Okay, take me to the hospital now. So then we finally get there.
I was stalling.
I've got the freaking yoga ball. I've got the speaker. I've got a box of shit because you wanted a cute nightgown to wear. Like, it was a whole thing. We get there, and she wants her playlist. Play the playlist. We had freaking the essential oils.
Yep, going in the diffuser.
Going up, and the nurses were like,
the nurses appreciated that every time they walked into the room.
Oh, you have
nice.
A playlist? They're like, you know, they're really left and like, this bitch, right? They're talking to the other nurses like, this dumb bitch. She thinks she's going to get through it with freaking essential oils. They're making fun of you out there, dude. They're like, she's so dumb.
She's one of those.
Yeah, she's one of those. She's got a plan. So, Renee, you wanted to do natural childbirth.
I wanted to try and not have the epidural and not do the Pitocin. I wanted to avoid a C-section if I could. And in the class, we learned that if you take Pitocin, your chances of needing a C-section are higher.
But then you realize that, like, all of that is all planned so that the doctor doesn't have to be there.
Yes, because the doctor's juggling appointments with 20 women in their office and has to get across the street to the hospital.
So then I just remember the gynecologist that was on duty, which was not yours, comes up to me and she's like, I know your wife is tough. And I know she doesn't want the epidural.
Yeah.
She goes, but we're at a point where there's no turning back.
It was a Pitocin. I had stalled out.
Yeah, you stalled out.
I stalled out.
And they said, look, because, you know, you had to get the epidural. Now it's like 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. We've been there now for more than 10 hours.
Yeah.
Right?
No sleep.
And then, so they sent me in. They're like, you go talk to her. You go tell her that she has to leave her bullshit plan. So I go in there, I'm like, hey, man, like.
We're out of essential oils.
I'm like, hey, the fucking playlist has run 8 times. The essential oils are burnt out. There's no more water. The freaking yoga ball's flat. What are we? I go, we got to make a decision. So then finally you were like, okay, right?
Yeah.
So you get the epidural.
But let's I don't even remember. I remember up to a certain point. I remember having contractions through the night and then stopping. I remember having all that stuff on my
so
stomach
bad,
like
dude.
Those, and I just wanted it off of me.
And people don't, like, okay, obviously I'm not having a human come out of my vagina. I don't have a vagina, but if a golf ball came out of my penis hole, right?
Oh.
That would be, right? Yeah. That would, I guess, be equivalent to it. So that's not happening
to
me.
We'll find out later.
No, that was not happening to me, but I don't think men that are there, we don't get any credit. It was hard for me. It was hard for me to watch the person that I love in so much pain. And as a man, as a husband, we have this sense of like, what can I do to fix it? And in that situation, there was nothing that
I could
do.
You could have massaged my feet.
I did.
I wanted them, I so
I
badly.
I kept pouring oils in
I didn't
for
want
you.
To be in that bed. And I just wanted you to tell him my wife does not want to be in this bed and let me rip all that stuff
so
off.
So it was all hooked up. You would see the freaking thing go. You would see the thing go. And it was a pattern, right? I knew when her contractions were coming, dude. And I would just be watching the thing. This poor girl is taking a nap, and I'm like, oh, she's about to wake up. She's about to, and then you'd wake up like out of the, and I just felt so horrible. Like, and then I didn't want to, I didn't want to look.
Oh yeah, you insisted on being on this side of me. You made that very clear from the beginning that you were not going to be downwind. You were going to be up here.
Look, I can skin a pig. I can skin a deer.
That's disgusting.
And eat a breakfast taco. No problem. But I couldn't handle whatever was happening. And then she's like, do you want to touch his head? And I would just go over the... I would just like go over... Like, that's his head. I'm like, all I feel is hair. It could be anything. But dude, like, it was so crazy watching you go through it. And look, I'm not saying that men have it harder. We don't. We're not the ones delivering the baby. But it was a lot of anxiety for me. It was me feeling horrible because I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
I was tired. Couldn't sleep. I was here it goes again, right? I'm watching the freaking machine and I'm like, oh my God, my poor wife. And then wake up.
I think the nurses really just wanted us to get the epidural so that we could both sleep. Like at one point they were like, you guys just need a nap. And both of you.
But that's why I started, you know, really giving it up for the nurses, because man, the nurses were the heroes.
Yeah.
The nurses were so sweet and so kind to us and went out of their way to make us feel comfortable and make us, I mean, they were just, and you think about, for us, this is one day out of our life.
And they do that multiple times a day.
They're doing it every day, multiple times a day with different people. Their attitudes, their, you know, the way that they handled themselves.
The families, it was just you and I in the room. Can you imagine like groups that have families in there?
You know, so after we had the baby, the thing that I did, and I really highly recommend this for anybody that has not had a baby yet, I bought pizzas for the entire floor. I bought like 40 pizzas for both floors because we had already been moved down.
Yeah, there's a labor and the delivery floor, and then there's the recovery floor.
Yeah, so the recovery floor, again, the nurses were so nice to us. And so I bought 40 pizzas, man, 20 pizzas for upstairs, 20 pizzas for this floor, and then we were the pizza people. Like, everybody, even our nurses that weren't our nurses were coming in our room, like...
Well, someone gave us that tip. Remember, someone was like, take Starbucks gift cards, like...
It might have been Big Frank Del Rio.
Yes, it was. Yeah, because Luce,
Yeah, because Luce, and he brought Starbucks gift cards for all the nurses. Well, you went into labor 2 weeks earlier, so I didn't have time to get the gift cards, so I thought, hey, man, I'll feed everybody. Right? And all the nurses would come in, they're like, you're the pizza guy? Here, take this shit home. Here, keep this.
Yes. They kept scanning because they had to scan everything before they gave it to you. They'd be like, oh, look, this one looks open. We better get you another one.
Yeah, we'll get you this one. Take that home. And I mean, and then I was like, you know what, guys? This sofa in this room is just not comfy. Get him another. Get the pizza man a better sofa. But once you got the epidural, though.
We napped. You and I both took a nap.
No, but I'm saying pain-wise.
Yeah, I don't really remember much. I mean, it knocks you out. It totally knocks you out.
But it still trips me out that I can watch a human come out of your vagina.
Yes.
But I can't watch you get the epidural. That's weird.
Oh, that the hospital didn't allow you to watch me get the epidural?
You didn't know that?
I remember, you've told me that, but no, I don't remember.
They didn't let me in there.
I don't remember getting the epidural.
You don't even remember getting it?
I don't even remember getting it. Uh-uh.
Wow. Because after that, it was, like, they gave me the epidural, and they're like, Mr. Trevino, take a nap. She's going to pass out. And I go, but is she going to have contractions again? And they go, no, we're going to get her going in an hour, 2 hours from now.
Yeah.
So I fall asleep on that little couch, and I wake up, and they're like, they're like under there like a quarterback, right? And I'm like, whoa, what's happening? And they're like, you're still fine to sleep. I'm like, nah, I'm up. Like.
I think they had me do practice pushes. And then they were like, okay, that's enough practicing. Like, this baby's going to come out. Let's wait till the doctor gets here.
I just remember you pushing, dude, and you were like, argh. I was like, oh, my God, dude, this woman's strong. Strong. And then the baby comes, and then, like, there's such a relief of, like, oh, my God, it's our baby.
Yeah.
And then right away.
When you hear it cry, that sound, when you hear the cry.
Baby cries. Well, then they grabbed him. They're like, wait, he's got fluid in his lungs or something. And they had to shove a thing in his nose.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, crap, like, what's happening? And then I cut the umbilical cord, which I was able to do.
Yeah.
And then they handed us our baby, and it was like, get ready. Your life is going to completely change.
Yeah.
And you know it. At that moment, when you grab your kid, you're like, oh, my God. Like.
Well, the hospital we had him at was really cool because it's not like in the movies where they take the baby and they take it to a separate nursery and you see all the babies in the nursery. Like, well, he stayed with us in our room the entire
time. Yeah, because now they want you to do...
skin to skin.
Skin to skin, right? Yeah. So I had my shirt off doing skin to skin with the baby. And then my mom, Miss Dora, because, you know, she had her kids a long, long time ago. Remember when Garrett had the black poop?
Oh,
Mom
yeah.
was like, this isn't normal. This isn't normal. What is happening? And then they're like, no, ma'am, you just didn't see it with your kids.
Because they took the baby.
Because back then they would take the baby and the guys would be outside drinking beer, smoking cigars. Right, getting hammered back in the day, having a good time, and then now we have to go through it all with you. So,
you got to blow up the yoga ball.
So let's go back to the labor pains because you're gonna put this machine on me.
Yeah. So we haven't done it. We haven't tested it out. So hopefully it works. But the idea is that I put these pads on your abdomen.
My one ab?
You get four pads on your abdomen.
On my one ab?
And I'm supposed to leave it on each level for just a little bit because it's like a...
progression.
Not all four pads are going at once. So on your belly, you should kind of feel different muscles being stimulated.
Okay, if I shit myself.
Oh, God, I will not clean it up.
Are we going to continue?
Well, no, you're supposed to tell me when to stop.
Okay.
So my understanding is Amber said her guys, they petered out at 6. She said her dad got to 7 for just a little bit.
Vance.
And then, yes, and then she was afraid he was going to have like a heart attack or something. And he started to look really bad, so she shut it off. She's okay. Like, she showed me the automatic off switch.
What am I getting into, dude?
To automatically turn it off.
I don't need to do this.
You can also just rip the pads off.
If this hurts, I'm going to start wearing condoms. Because I don't want any kids. All right, well, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it. All right, do you even know?
Now I'm like worried. I hope you don't have like weird bodily function stuff happening.
Okay, so there's my pregnant belly. Okay.
So we're connected. There's four pads.
Okay.
And there's an A and a B. And I'm supposed to do them like diagonal. You're just supposed to peel it. Where would you say the top of your abs are, babe?
My ab? Right here?
There. Okay, so we'll put that one there.
Okay.
Oh, taking these off with your hairy belly is going to be a bitch.
I do like the boob view I got going on.
Oh. Okay, where would you say the bottom of your abdomen is?
Right down here, probably.
Kind of down there?
Yep. I like the way she's all medical about it. The abdomen. Where's the bottom of your abdomen?
Okay.
Okay. My allergies are kicking my butt too, man.
It's that
Sahara, whatever. Okay.
Okay, you're all sticky.
Where are you gonna stand?
I gotta be close to this.
Okay.
I gotta be close to this. Let's see.
So we're gonna start with one.
Okay, it's on.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so I'm gonna come sit across from you. I gotta figure out how to.
Oh, it's working. I feel it.
No, I'm not on the right. That setting is actually knuckles massaging your back.
No, but I'm just saying, I felt it.
That's not.
Do I need
right
to put
one.
My legs up in the stirrups? Like
I got to figure out.
Like I'm having a baby?
Okay.
Do I need to? Okay.
Oh, there we go. Okay. I got it now.
All right, now go over there and do it. Okay. We're in labor setting?
We're in the right setting, but now I gotta get to the right level.
Oh my God, dude.
You don't feel it already.
No, I forgot to wax.
Oh shit.
Forgot to wax my vajayjay. Okay, what is that? I feel it pumping.
Do you?
Yeah, I feel it.
Okay, that's just A. Let me do B now. Okay.
What level is that?
Do you really want to know?
It kind of tickles. What level is that?
A and B are both on level 2.
Okay, I can feel it, but it's like massage-y.
Is it?
Yeah, it's massage-y. We're at massage-y right now.
Okay.
What level's that?
Now your A is on level 3.
Okay. Yeah. It's still massage-y.
Your smile's getting a little bigger, though. B is on level 3.
Okay.
Oh, my God, I see your muscle tweaking. Did you see that? Holy cow!
Okay. Okay. What is that?
That's three.
Okay.
You want me to keep going?
Three's not bad at all, by the way. It's not bad at all.
But your ab was totally
okay, this is four?
No, not yet.
What is this?
Okay. That.
The baby's moving.
That's four.
Okay, four, I'm starting to feel it. Four, you can, like right there, like you can feel it. It's just pumping. What is that?
Well, that I accidentally lowered it, so the torture lasts a little longer.
You jerk.
Okay, what is that? It's an accident. That's, they're both on four now.
Okay, four, I'm starting to feel a little something.
I see your muscles.
I think I'm dilating. I'm dilating. I'm probably at a 1 centimeter. I'm at 1 centimeter.
Do you want me to go to five?
Yes.
Okay.
That I can feel a little bit stronger.
That is five.
That's five. Look what it's doing in my belly.
That's what I'm telling you. It's so weird to see your...
Look at my belly. How many centimeters am I? Can you check, sir?
They're both on five.
Okay, that's
five. Are you sure your face, your smile is slowly disappearing?
It's not, it doesn't, you feel it. You definitely feel it.
Remember
that's five.
When you got Bell's palsy?
So you have to let the thing kind of do its thing, because it's like doing a thing. Okay, then go to six.
I'm a little afraid. Okay.
Okay, are you fucking kidding me, Rick, right now? Rick's like, hey, dude, I'm like getting electrocuted. And Rick's like, the producer is like, oh, hey, hang on, buddy. Yeah, let's...
Clearly, Rick has
okay,
chosen a team.
What is this?
This is five.
Okay, do six.
Okay.
Is that six?
That's six.
This is six?
B is on
definitely
six.
Feel it. Definitely, like, pumping
a is
it
on
up.
Six.
Okay. Okay. I can feel that.
Do you want me to stop?
No, that's six?
Yeah.
Okay. No, you can. It definitely is.
It's a little. Your stomach's going nonstop now. You can't control it.
I'm dilated. See that? See, it goes through a thing. So it like does different things.
It goes all the way up to 10.
I think Vance and Brezina are pussies because. They wimped out at six. Go ahead and go to seven.
No, look, I can
go
even
to
see
seven.
Your toes are starting to...
Take it to seven. No, it does hurt. Don't get me... That's seven?
That's seven.
Okay, that is definitely... Now we're getting to a place where it's starting to really...
Seven
you can
on
feel
B.
It. You can feel it.
You're getting very serious in your face.
Because you can feel it. It's not like, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world. I mean, look what it's doing.
Oh my
God. So you can definitely.
It looks like your belly is having like convulsions.
No, you can definitely. It goes through a motion of a thing. If this is what labor's like.
Do you want to stay at seven or am I pumping you to an eight?
Let's go to eight. Is that eight?
That's eight.
Now we're talking like.
Do you just want me to send it to a 10 and skip nine?
No, you jerk. What's wrong with you? You just want to hurt me.
No.
So this is eight?
When are we going to stop
this is eight?
It? Yes.
Eight. You can, like, eight's like, okay, there's something going on here.
I'm crying for you.
I know. Hold my hand. All right, let's go to nine and then stop because it's
okay.
Definitely.
That's nine.
Nine. Oh, nine.
That's nine.
Yeah,
shut
nine.
It off.
No. Let's go. I'm going to have this baby.
Do the labor. Do the
Let's
breathing.
Have this baby.
Do the breaths, baby. Deep breaths. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
Now, this is
meditate.
Like.
Meditate.
Oh, you can
think
feel
of
this.
A peaceful place.
Let's. That one does. I'm sweating now. I'm sweating now.
I'm sweating too.
Look, your boobs are shaking. Thank you for that. Go to 10. Okay. Take it to 10.
You're at 10.
Woo! Okay.
Okay.
I'm good
I
at 10.
Shut it off. Oh. I'm sweating for
Dude,
you.
I'm sweating. Oh. Is it a boy?
No.
Or a girl?
Holy cow.
It's a
Oh, here, let me take them off for you.
Okay.
Oh. Would you do it again?
Would I do it again?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it.
Okay, does this hurt?
No, you're good. I'm trying to explain, like, there was moments, because it feels like it has, like, a setting that it kind of goes, it intensifies.
Yes.
Right? Oh. Oh, my gosh, dude. That was, I mean, it wasn't till like, for me, seven started getting, okay, this is becoming uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then 8 was like, nah, I can still handle it.
Okay, but I'm seriously sweating.
It wasn't until 9 that I was like, oh, okay, like this is definitely a thing.
I have to be honest, I didn't think you were going to make it all the way to 10. I mean, I should have known better because your pride, but...
It's not about my pride.
But I didn't think you'd make it all the way to 10.
Look, we have gotten the videos of Brezina and Vance Dawson. Mm-hmm. And
I knew you were going to insist on making it past 7. I knew you were at least going to get past 7 because I said Vance got to 7.
Well, I'm being honest with you. Like, 6 was strong.
Yeah.
Right? 7 was tolerable. 8 was, all right, this is getting a little strong.
A little?
Yeah, like, okay.
A little?
9 was like, all right. 10 was like, oh, do I need
to... Okay, that was not the goal of this. The goal was to, like, make you really sympathetic to women and labor pain.
How am I not sympathetic?
Well, you are. You were very sweet. You said it was hard for you to see me in labor.
I've always been very sympathetic to it. And the fact of the matter is, and I don't know if I've said this on stage before, the fact that you are willing to do it again.
Well, because you don't remember it.
Like I said, if a golf ball came out of my pee-pee hole, I don't think I'd do it again. Right? I'd be like, you know what? I'm good. You know what? I love this golf ball. It talks to me.
This golf ball. It's my lucky golf ball.
This golf ball hugs me and he's very sweet, this little golf ball, but I don't think I want to have another one. I think I'm good. But the fact that you're willing to do it again. And by the way, not only that, like I do admire mommies because it physically takes a toll on a woman's body.
Oh my, well, just today, I mean, we're not even at the halfway point, and just today, coming up the stairs with my bags, I was like huffing and puffing when I got to the top of the stairs.
Well, right, and well, not only that, like just the whole delivery, and then your body,
yeah,
you know, getting much bigger, and then having to lose that weight while juggling a child, now a 5-year-old at that, you know, by the time our new baby comes, Garrett will be 5.
Yeah.
So now you've got a 5-year-old, you've got a Steve Trevino, you've got a baby,
yeah.
You've got to lose the weight, you still have to run our business and do podcasts, and it takes a toll.
Well, we know balls are going to get dropped. Like I think that's what I learned after Garrett, like after having Garrett. I dropped a lot of balls and I had to be very forgiving and gracious with myself. I think that's the biggest takeaway from my first pregnancy is being kind to myself. If I have to say, hey guys, I gotta stop and eat or this is not gonna go well, the rest of the afternoon it's gonna be done.
I'll find that time to exercise. Right?
Yes, right. And this time around, I'm really making the effort to exercise while I have time because I know it's gonna be harder.
But I remember you I'm like, damn, Jennifer Aniston's 50? She looks good. And you're like, because the bitch doesn't have kids. That's what. But then you think about it, and you're like...
Her body hasn't been stretched to oblivion and then had to come back together twice.
Or 3 times, yeah. Right? So, I mean, but that's why, you know, our accountant, Jose, and his wife, Nancy, you know, right now she's very fit, and I wanted to let him know, like, hey, congratulations. Like, that's... For a mommy... To be able to find the time and the effort to...
Between eating goldfish and cheese sticks.
Right. Yeah. You know, and to get back into shape. It's hard without kids. Much less being older and having kids and having to lose the weight. Like, man, I have a lot of
respect.
The
juggle is real.
It's very real. You know, but the fact that you're willing to do that again, and if we love our second child as much as we love our first child, it's all worth it.
Yeah.
You know, it's all part of the plan, you know. And we don't know what the sex is yet. So we did want to kind of bring that up in this episode because we thought, because we are an open book, because it's turning into a family here with the podcast, mm-hmm. with all the people that come to the shows, that we need to find a very neat way.
Because we share it.
We have it. We have in an envelope. We have the sex of our next child. Now, Garrett wants a little boy. I want a little girl. Because I want a boy and a girl.
Yeah.
And I've always said this to you, and I mean it. God has maybe not answered all my prayers. But for some reason, the ones that matter, he always, seems. Get. Yep, he always seems to deliver.
Yeah.
Or she, before it turns into a whole thing, he or she, whoever God may be.
I just want a happy, healthy baby.
That's it. Happy, healthy baby.
I think before I really wanted a girl, just to have our pair. And then after the miscarriage, then it just became healthy. I want to get pregnant and I want Garrett to have a sibling, and that's what's most important.
Well, and you know, God, we should talk about that. I mean, we had a hard time dealing with that miscarriage because I told you, I said, hey, I am perfectly okay having one child. I'm happy. We're blessed with a beautiful little boy.
Yeah.
And if we don't have another child, please don't get any pressure from me that I want another one. And then you were like, fuck that, I want another one. I want another one. And I'm like, okay. I go, that's fine, but I want you. So then.
It was hard because you and I both went like back and forth about, I think you had sort of made peace that maybe it just wasn't in the cards for us.
No. No, she turned it into a. She turned it into like I was trying to speak wife. Like she turned it into like, oh, are you saying you don't want another kid? I'm like, no, I didn't say that.
No, but then at one point you did. You were like, look, if we don't get pregnant, if we keep trying and we don't get pregnant by a certain point, I am done.
Well, yes, because
you made that clear.
I wanted it to be natural, right? I wanted it to be an old fashioned in the back of the car, me and you drunk. You know, just old school, baby. Old school. So I wanted it the natural way. And we started going to a fertility clinic. Well,
because I felt like just peace of mind. I knew you weren't comfortable with it.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
What?
I wasn't comfortable with it because you were like, whoa, maybe it's you. Maybe it's you.
No. Maybe,
and I'm like.
I wanted to know the science. And I felt like if we just knew all my parts are working right and all your parts are working right and everything is still looking good,
so
then
I go,
peace of mind, we eliminate
I go, fine, right? Dude, now I'm at the doctor's office and they're like, hey, go jack off in this cup. What the? Like, I can hear people, I'm in the freaking restroom with a cup, no porn, right? Just, and I'm sitting on a freaking...
Don't do it all the time anyway. Matter where you do it? In a hotel room? In the hotel bathroom?
In my bed. In my own bed. I'm not in a doctor's office with a cup. And then I've never saved my sperm. It goes in my sock. And then I you know what I mean? You wrap it up in the sock.
So what?
You make a little origami and you throw it away.
If you're not that precious about it, what's the big deal?
Dude, I'm in the freaking doctor's office with my cup, right? And I can hear people like talking, like the nurses are like walking by, and I'm like, oh my,
no,
this is creepy.
But even to get to that point, like you were so, I had to like delicately put it by your bed and be like, if you want to do it at home, you can set an appointment to drop
so
it off in the morning and no one will see.
It's following me around. Like it's in my car. It's like, I'm like, I go, I will do it. I will freaking nut in a stupid cup. But you don't understand,
just so
honey?
We could test it, so we could know if it was all good.
What if I told you that? Hey, listen, I need you to orgasm into a cup.
They tested all my stuff.
But you didn't have to orgasm into a cup. It's with people, like...
No, there are no people watching.
Yes, there was. No, there was people walking outside of the doctor's office. I did it at the doctor's office. That'd be like me right now going, hey, guys, I'll be back. I'll be back. I'm going to go sit in your freaking...
Look, it's a fertility clinic. All the other dudes are doing the same thing. Everyone
Even
knows.
Creepier. Even creepier. So, okay. So finally...
No, but you know what was weird is that...
They send my little spermies off. They sent them off. And
yes.
What happened? Daddy was good.
Yeah. For the record, so everyone is aware, Steve's sperm works totally fine. There we go. Okay?
See.
All good.
And I'll put it in this cup right now. And I'll show everybody... Let me drink this.
You got something on your chin.
Oh.
So what do you do? Normally, what do you do?
Okay. It's all gone to shit.
It has gone to shit.
Point was you really struggled in the fertility doctor's office.
And then it made me sad.
you would like shut down. I would be like, look, this doctor's visit is costing us a lot of money. If you have questions, don't shut down. Like, but ask them.
Emotionally, like, it made me sad. And then it wasn't fair because I would get sad and a little bit angry. I was a little bit angry because, I mean, that miscarriage was so heartbreaking that I wasn't ready to go through it again. And I was okay with, hey, you know, maybe Garrett's it, right? Yeah. And then I would get sad. I'd get a little angry. So I would just get quiet. And then this one would be like, what's wrong? Why you gotta be like that? And I'm like, I'm sad right now. Can I be sad?
It was like angry? Watching someone have, kind of like when someone has an anxiety attack and they cannot control it and they can't help it and you know they can't help it. You watching you, like, you just physically shut down. It's and it hard. Was like watching, and you couldn't do anything about it.
Well, and then I was frustrated because, and I'm not going to name any names, because I felt like our fertility doctor was real pushy. Real pushy for the in vitro.
Right, I agree with that. I felt like she wasn't listening to our particular story and how we wanted to handle this.
And she was immediately like, well, we can do this, and let's go ahead and get the egg, and I need $10,000. And I just felt like there was no compassion from her. There was no understanding that...
We want to take this slow and do it as naturally as possible.
Yeah, we literally had to tell her, hey, can we get pregnant naturally? Well, yes, you can. Okay, we would like to try to get pregnant in the back of my truck with a bottle of Crown and Boone's Farm. I sort of told her that. I'm like, dude, if we were in high school, right? If we were in high school, we'll get knocked up like that. We get a bottle of Mad Dog 2020 and some Natty Light and let's go.
Yeah.
But we had to, like, we had to tell her, like, hey, man, we want to try to do this naturally.
Yeah.
And then the Rona happened.
And I honestly feel if that is the blessing and the silver lining that has come from coronavirus, there is a huge part of my heart that feels like the reason we got pregnant is you and I are always running at the speed of light from one thing to the next. And the coronavirus just forced us to chill out and stop for a second.
I agree. But it also scares the crap out of me to bring another human into this earth right now because things are a freaking mess.
Yeah.
Things are scary. Things are crazy on the streets. Things are, you know, here's this disease that it wasn't around. But, you know, it must be, you know, I think maybe the coronavirus will affect us the way it affected the baby boomer, right? Because they were kids of people from the Depression.
Oh, the way the Great Depression did?
You know, and, you know, when you meet people that come from parents of the Depression, it's don't waste your food.
Oh, absolutely.
And eat everything. And be careful and save your money. And you don't know what's going to happen. Like, it affected them in a way that changed the course of...
The way they live their life.
The way they live their life. And I think that might end up happening to us. But, look, at the end of the day, I take care of you. You take care of me. And we take care of our kids together. And we wake up every day and we do the best we can.
Yeah.
And we hope that things get a little better out in the world.
Yeah.
And try to raise, hopefully, productive adults, you know.
Kids that don't call their parents savages and tell them to shut their mouth.
Yeah.
The other day, I told Garrett to pick up his toys, and he said, savage, as he walked away. And I was like, what the hell?
He knows what's up. And then I am enjoying, everybody, the negative comments towards Renee.
Finally, I'm getting some info.
I'm really enjoying it. It's making me feel good. And I remember several years ago where I was obsessed with reading all my comments.
Yes.
And then you would be like, stop. Like, look what this guy said. Right. And I would lose my mind. And then you'd be like, oh my God, get over it. And then last night, Renee's reading the comments and she goes, did you see this one where they called me a man?
Yeah, he said, it was a guy. He said she looks like a man. And then what's even worse is another guy liked it.
Another guy liked it. He goes, oh my God, finally somebody said it. Can I put a smiley face right here?
Clearly this guy is not married.
Let me put a little smiley face right here. Oh, she does look,
I want to be like, what does your wife look like?
But yeah, so you, but you were like, you, and then you wanted, then she would type a response and then she'd delete it. And then she'd type a response and then she'd delete it. And I'm like, just let it go. Like, welcome to my world. I can't tell you how many times I put out a comedy special and somebody has a problem with it. And somebody's like, oh, this guy's this or this guy's that or whatever. Yeah. And now I've gotten to the point where I'm like, look, man, I'm going to do the best that I can do. And I'm going to try to make the people that enjoy what I do enjoy what I do. Yeah. And the rest of you can go kick rocks.
No, go fly, I mean, a kite. It didn't really hurt my feelings. I just thought it was like one of those really funny, bizarre things. Because who types that? She looks like a man.
All I'm saying is when she saw the comment, she was not wearing makeup. She was she was in a t-shirt.
A man shirt, yeah.
Her dick was hanging out the bottom.
Don't get jealous, babe.
Don't get jealous under your breath. I heard what you said. But it was funny for me to see you have to deal
sure
with
was.
That comment.
I'm sure it was.
And then, you know, and then we had another and by the way, like, for those of you that watch the podcast or listen to it, we truly try our very best to read everything. You know, I sometimes catch crap because I have an automatic reply on my Facebook DM.
Your direct messages.
If you DM me on Facebook, there's a message that says, thanks for sending me a message. Most people ask about dates. Here's my website. And then people are like, oh, dude, like, F you, man. You don't check your messages. And I'm like, well, no.
We do, but we were just getting a lot of the same questions.
70% of them are, where can I find you on the road? Well, check the website, right? Yeah. There's the website. But after that, we try to respond. And we take questions. Like when people say, you know, like, as a matter of fact, our fertility journey that we're talking about right
someone
now.
Someone specifically asked. They said they wanted to hear about it. Yeah.
Somebody asked, and we already, you were bringing the weak-ass pregnancy test.
And it's not a pregnancy test.
Or whatever it is.
A labor simulator.
A labor simulator. And then, so we decided to get into that. And then the last thing that we, you know, I sent this one to you. And what we do is what happens is for you guys listening to the show or watching the show, we'll get them and then I'll go, oh, Renee, save this.
We screenshot it.
Screenshot it, yeah. I sent it to you. And then somebody was asking, you know, how our relationship works. Was that what they asked, right? Or how was the question?
Let's see. I have it. What did they say? Oh, she said, I'd love to hear an episode on relationship advice and how you guys make it work. And I said, I don't know if we're the people to be giving relationship advice, but we sort of were talking about what makes us work.
But that's exactly what every episode is, in my opinion.
Relationship advice?
Yes.
Lord, no.
Therapy. It's therapy. Well, no, it's
therapy for us, yes, but please don't take this as advice for other people.
No, but I think our relationship works because we love each other to be willing to change.
Or try to.
Or at least try to change.
Yeah.
Right? I am not the man I was when you met me.
You're 26.
Yep. A little older. But I was not the man. I am not the man today that I was then. And I think there's growth, you know, for me personally,
yeah.
Right? You know, it's, you know, somebody else said a comment about like, oh, you're insecure because your parents are divorced. Like, get over it, dude. After 20, it's all you. Yeah, it is all me. But
yeah.
but we're still dealing with things as you grow up. You know, and
we've been able to grow and evolve together.
Yes.
And I'm not sure how couples continue to do that after they have kids and they're empty nesters, you know.
But you've been willing to change too and grow because we do love each other. And I think
I'm not as spoiled.
Well, I remember one time where I was like, fuck you. I grabbed my shit. I'm like, I'm done with you. I'm leaving. And then I'm like, you're going to let me leave? And you were like, yeah, because I'm not leaving. And I'm here. I remember you telling me that. You're like, I'm not leaving.
I don't play games.
I'm here. So I will be here. And I don't plan on divorcing you. So either we're going to work this shit out.
I am nothing if not loyal.
Or you can leave.
Yeah.
And I think that that was a moment for me of learning, like, oh, she is here. And she isn't leaving. And all right, let's figure this out. And I think that because of that, and because the love that we have for, and for me, and you don't have to say anything about me because you're not, but for me, I fall more in love with you every day, right? You know, when you became a mommy and I saw the way that, I mean, dude, when I sneak up on the room and the door's cracked and Garrett's sitting in your lap and you're reading to our son, it's like, man, I fall in love with you more than, you know what I mean?
Those moments.
But even now, when you're willing to have another child for us and ruin your body and look like a man, I'm like, this girl's awesome. So for me, you know, it's you know, me falling in love with you more than what am I willing to do to make sure that you're happy, right? And then I bitch at you when you're being unreasonable.
Yeah.
And then you tell me to go fuck myself.
And but then you I change. Come back and I apologize.
And then you change. Yes. And then you apologize. I'll never get the apology there. I just have to see the. I have to see you change.
Give me a little time.
Was it yesterday? Yesterday, I'm like, hey, listen. I go. You know, you had this project that you started for work. You didn't finish it. I'm a little fresh. Well, you know what? You know what? And she starts like screaming at me.
A list of things he hasn't finished.
Yeah, she starts telling me all the things I haven't finished. And then I go, do you see what you're doing right now? And she's like, yes, I'm sorry. She's like, but can I have a minute? I'm like, fine. So we already know
our pattern,
how it's going to work. Which, by the way, she's putting my son down to bed. And we're staying with my in-laws because we're homeless
at the moment.
Yeah. We're homeless until the 9th. And then we're at the in-laws, so she's putting our son to bed. And then we've been watching Yellowstone at night, right? And we had two more episodes to go. And I text her. I'm like, hey, you're going to come to the room where I'm at so we can watch Yellowstone. She's like, yeah, I'll be there. Dude, she sits down and starts blow-drying her hair.
Because I knew since we're all the way at my folks' house, we have to drive all the way to Austin today to film. We had this whole conversation. I don't want you to yell at me in the morning for being late. Remember, we just talked about this. So I have to blow dry my hair the night before to make you happy.
So then she totally spoke wife to me, right? And I go, hey, do you have to do that here? And then she goes, well, I could go somewhere else. Which means, hey, dipshit. You go somewhere else.
Right.
Like I go. So you want me to go somewhere else? She goes, well, that would be better.
Well,
and
I'm already
speak wife, bro.
I'm sitting at the vanity, blow drying my hair, and you're like, can't you go do that in the bathroom and stand while I do it? Come on.
So then just say that. You don't have to go. Well, I could. Like she get like in her tone, I read, get the fuck out of the room. That's you know what I mean with the tone.
You should have known that from the beginning.
You came to the room where I was. I was fine. Checking out my TikTok. I'm a TikToker now.
Oh my gosh, your TikTok. You were like freaking. I was freaking out last night because in a matter of an hour, you had over 1,000 followers. Like you jumped up over 1,000.
Overnight. Like I had 10,000 followers before I went to bed. When I woke up, I had 12,000. 2,000 followers came in. And I wish you guys would understand how overwhelmed I am. Like, I got into stand-up comedy to do stand-up comedy. And the fact that this many people care is...
The TikToks are really cool, though. It's fun. I mean, we didn't even know what the hell TikTok was. And then we, like, opened it up and we're like, wait a minute. There's all these Steve Trevino TikToks.
But I'm like, I am so flattered. It is the most humbling... I'll show Renee. I'm like, look, like people are voice pantomiming my bits.
It's cool. It's really cool.
Like I'm like, look, babe, like this is crazy, and it really is for me. I mean, I'm a little kid from Gregory, Portland, Texas, man. Like it's unbelievable. And then I look back at my life, and you know everything's been go 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 go, and I'm like, man, I've done a lot of cool things, like. Man, and then the fact that we get on TikTok, we fought so hard for so long to get social media fans.
We
were like, "What? When are we going to get anybody to care? And can we get anybody to watch this?" So we've been on TikTok for 2 weeks.
Not even 2 weeks.
Not even 2 weeks. And we're at 12,000 Like, it's unbelievable to me, man. Like, it is so humbling. And that's why I always thank people at the shows. And that's why it breaks my heart with COVID.
I know. I've gotten messages from people that are like, oh, we get it, but we're really sad that we couldn't shake hands with him after. And I know it's so hard for you to not be able to do that. And even, you know, the couple of gigs that I've gone with you, it is. It's weird not to.
Because, you know, I would bills.
Go. But I would go out there with you sometimes afterwards, too. And it is. It's weird not to be able to have that social exchange.
They
with
pay
them.
Our bills. Essentially, they are my boss, right? And if I don't have, if I'm not going to go out there and thank my boss for letting me do what I love, it doesn't feel right.
But I can even imagine. I can even imagine for you, like when you were on stage and there's the audience. Like, yes, the laughter is gratifying and all of that, but there's something so great about being able to walk off the stage and actually hear the feedback and what they had to say and how much they loved it and like the cool stories that people share with you after a show,
man,
you know,
like,
to not have that anymore. I know.
Well, and not only that, like, you know, I feel like stand-up comedy is very self-serving. I feel that it's very selfish. I definitely do it for my soul. I definitely do it because I need clapter. applause. I need applause.
And laughter.
Right. I need applause and laughter. I need it, and it's very important to me, to my soul. So I feel like if they're giving me so much, not only are they giving me the laughter and the applause that has been enough in the past.
Yeah.
Now they're paying me to do it. Yeah, I'm gonna go outside. I'm gonna shake hands. We've gotten to know people. We go to different markets and, you know, because me and you will go have a drink after.
Yeah.
And people will show up. And they're like, you know, especially in Vegas, you know, where we have, you know, Renee would always get so mad at me because what would you call it? Like, Steve's bringing home another stray dog. Steve's got another stray dog. Because, you know, I'd meet these people. And you know, Timmy, my road manager, my partner, my buddy, my, you know, friend for 20 years, me and him were a mess together. And we've grown together, right? We've become better men together. We've become, you know, stronger in our journey. So me and Tim have this really special bond of like, man, we were, you know, Timmy would show up at all my shows and our goal was to get as hammered as possible and tell jokes. We didn't know that now it's a business. And now me and Timmy laugh because we're like, look at all these people in line. What are they doing here? What are they doing? We wouldn't do this anyway, you know? So it's been such a bittersweet thing that, yes, I get to go on stage right now at a 50% capacity, but I can't say hi to anybody, you know? And then, especially now that you're pregnant, now I literally sit in my car and then Timmy comes and knocks on the window that it's time to go. Yeah. I walk into the club. I walk on stage. As soon as I'm done on stage, Timmy walks me back out to the car. And there is no, I'm not even in the building because I don't want to cause any way that, you know, trying to be as responsible as possible. You know, so I don't know why we ended up down that path. But.
Oh, because someone said I look like a man.
You look like a man. 69 is very weird, guys. It's, I'm like, honey, get your balls off my chin.
Enough.
Okay, Rick, don't cut that. That was hilarious. Well, so relationship advice, we try to give a little. As for our fertility journey, and well, by the way, people said that.
People said what?
People said as soon as you're at the fertility
clinic. Oh, my actual gyno, my OB. She said, you know, a lot of people start this and then just the process of starting it makes them feel like they're doing something and that makes them feel better and they end up getting pregnant naturally.
But your gynecologist now, I love her.
She's amazing.
And you feel that she cares. She sits down.
There's something that's more human. She has not lost her human touch.
And then the other woman was like, okay, let's go. I'll put a little thing in it, you know, and it was like, whoa, guy, pump the brakes. Like, this is a human life we're talking about here. So for me, I love going to go with you now.
Yeah.
To go see the other
Dr. Faye.
Dr. Faye.
Yeah.
She's awesome. She's great. She's compassionate. She's sweet. You know, as she's oiling it up, right? She's like, hey, guys. And I'm like, huh. So anyway, but they do say that. If you are trying to have a child, don't think about it.
I think I was going to say, don't say that to people.
That was our mistake. We were taking it so serious.
No, I also think, baby, you're on the road all the time. And, you know, us needing to be in the right time together, you know, it was a lot of things.
Were peeing on a stick and you were doing the whole thing. We're taking it too serious. And the Rona happened and we were just throwing bombs, you know what I mean? Throwing palos. And then, boom, baby time. So that's...
boom, baby time.
Yeah, boom, baby time. We out. What a wonderful episode. Every time.
Yeah, we come in not knowing exactly what we're going to talk about. We just have some ideas. And
every time it comes out great. And, well, at least I thought it was great. But that is our episode, Steve Trevino and the Captain Evil podcast.
Oh, I just want to say thank you because...
Look at the camera. Tell them.
We didn't know if this was going to keep going. The first episode came out and everyone really jumped on board for that first episode. And then we were like, oh, crap, how do we keep this going? So... thank you to everyone who is sharing it, who is helping us spread the word, because we just want it to keep growing.
Yeah, well, we're having so much fun. Continue with the comments. Continue with the suggestions, ideas. We were actually, because we are moving and we are definitely going to miss our neighbors, we were hoping, and we will, get our neighbors on the podcast because we have fallen in love with them. Both of them are Marines. Big shout out to Phil and Tatiana and their beautiful family. And hopefully you guys will get to hear from them what it's like to be neighbors with us. Thank you.